Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery channel.
It's Garbled Twistery. Welcome back, C's. If you literally just got here, let me tell you that we're moving through these 1796 election candidates like we moved through butter in a toothpaste factory. Last time, we talked about candidate number 6, Johnny J. This time, we're talking about candidate number 7, the liquid bread himself, Sammy Adams. Let's go. Welcome to Birth, Boston Birth. Yup. Sammy Whammy was born in Boston, Massachusetts, and he had freaking 12 siblings. And out of the 12, he was one of the only three that lived past the age of 3. Yeah, this dude was already a walking statistic. And his parents were super duper hyper Puritans, okay? Like, burn the witches with virtue and valor Puritans. So, I think it goes without saying that Sammy Whammy is gonna grow up with a whole lot of self-righteousness in his godly Puritan soul. Anyways, let's talk about Sammy Whammy Sr. Daddy Sammy was some fancy pants merchant, and he was also like one of the powerful boss people in his local churchy worchy. Oh, and he wasn't just godly powerful, he was also politically powerful. Like, pretty much in control of Boston's entire political landscape powerful. How did Sammy Whammy Sr. get this power, you ask? By helping found and grow the Boston Cactus, caucus. What is the Boston Cactus Caucus? It's basically a political cult, or after-school club, take your pick, that was just constantly meddling and tinkering with Boston's entire political landscape. No big deal. Like, they literally ran the town meetings. No big deal. Daddy Sammy was even a member of the Massachusetts House of Reps and was constantly putting the royals on the hot seat whenever they tried to snoop around too much, like a true pre-patriot patriot. But enough about the dad. This episode is about his namesake, his Simba. Look at the stars. So, what was little Sammy Whammy doing while his dad was taking over Boston? He was in some fancy-pantsy Latin school and then fancy-pantsy Harvard, of course. And it's no surprise that his parents wanted to be a godly godman of God, and that was fine with him. But as time went on, he kind of realized that politics were where the real rodeo was at. So he went and got his freaking master's and wrote some crazy thesis that was all like, quote, "Sometimes you have to yell at England for England to do its job right," unquote. So yeah, like father, like son, all that jazz. Or maybe not. Escándalo. Yes, you heard me. It's time to spill the tea. So, it's like 1739 and Massachusetts doesn't have any freaking money. I mean that in a literal sense, like there is no currency floating around. So, Sammy Whammy Sr. has this great idea to make a bank. And in this bank, people just gave out paper money to people who mortgaged their land. I mean, all the hoi polloi thought it was a great idea, but the prissy aristocrat royal peeps? No dice. They shut that money printing operation down, yo. And Daddy Sammy got freaking sued left and right and had to pay back all the fake money in silver and gold. And even after Daddy Sammy died, the tea sippers kept showing up at the front door and telling little Sammy Whammy they're gonna freaking seize his land. Yeah, if that isn't a personal vendetta setting event, I don't know what is. Okay, so after Sammy Whammy graduated from college, he got a disease. It's a disease that seems to plague the vast majority of millennials in this day and age. The name of this disease? I have a degree, but I have no idea what I'm supposed to freaking do with it syndrome. Like, he was thinking about being a lawyer, but he ended up being a businessman instead. So he went into accounting. But that didn't last long. Here's what his boss had to say about it. Quote, "Sammy... Sammy, he was too busy reading the newspaper to get into any other mathematics," unquote. Yeah, Daddy Sammy gave him $1,000 to start a business, which, as you can probably imagine, is an insane amount of money for the time. And you know what Sammy did? You know what Sammy Whammy did? He gave freaking half of this to his friend, who never paid it back, and wasted the rest of it on freaking sports cars and toiletries and whatever else totally existed at the time and was expensive. So, yeah. Sammy Whammy is not much of a moolah man, you dig? So after wasting his dad's money like a spoiled brat millennial, his dad threw him into a different job working in some factory where you pour water on some bread and it turns into beer or something. I think Jesus invented the technique or something. Who knows? Yeah, he wasn't even like brewing the stuff. He was just pouring the water on the bread. But anyways, it's almost 1750 and the tea sippers are starting to do their whole kidnapping people and forcing them into the Royal Navy song and dance, and Sammy and his friends are quite miffed about it. So they start their own newspaper so they can write some strongly worded essays about it, talking about natural rights and stuff. Look, here's a quote from one of the rants. Quote, "We can't let those tea sippers push us around, because the second we let those tea sippers start pushing us around, we'll end up like the Death Star, and nobody wants to end up like the Death Star," unquote. So, around the same time, Daddy Sammy Whammy dies. So that means our Sammy Whammy had to, like, take care of the property or whatever. And now that he's a homemaker, he has time to fall in love with some lady with the most basic name in colonial early colonized Americana. Elizabeth Checkley. What a basic name. And of course, she was the pastor's daughter. What can I say? Puritans attract! And they made 6 babies! 2 survived! But Elizabeth didn't survive baby number 7, no siree. That baby was stillborn, and I guess Lizzie ended up still dead trying to birth it. But it's okay, there are a lot of Elizabeths in the world. And Sammy remarried to one of them. They didn't try to have kids, though. Okay. So now that Daddy Sammy's super dead and stuff, there's an extra spot on the Boston Cactus. And Sammy snatched up that spot with the quickness, okay? Well, he had to earn his keep first and start off as a clerk of the Cactus. Then he got promoted to tax collector. But he wasn't even the evil kind of tax collector. He was the kind who would conveniently forget to collect your taxes if he knew you were eating cup noodles for dinner. The thing is, his generosity nearly drove the Boston Cactus into freaking bankruptcy, okay? Like, you're a tax collector, Sammy. Call human resources if you have to. Do your job. Is what his bosses told him to do until they finally realized it was his freaking fault and sued him for freaking $1,500. I mean, his friends paid off chunks of it, though, and everybody, like, forgave him super fast. So it was embarrassing, sure, but who cares? It's good old Sammy. So anyways, the baguette and powwow war is finally over, tea land is in debt, so they decide to tax everybody across the sea without freaking asking permission! We know this. And Sammy Whammy was hanging around, spilling the tea about these freaking taxes from the very start, okay? So let's get into it. First, they taxed the sugar, and Sammy Whammy Adams was all like, quote, "This is an infringement! Where are our representatives? Oh wait, we don't have any! That's why it's an infringement!" Unquote. Like, when the town meeting was held with all the people in the Boston Cactus after this, it was the first time they went on the record with the freaking call out. And Sammy Whammy, he was out there writing pamphlets and hiding them under pillows and stuff. He was not playing games, okay? Then they tried to tax all paper that exists everywhere. This drove all the rich lawyer people crazy because they've been using paper faster than Pocahontas going around the riverbed. So everybody suddenly remembered about the pamphlets, and perhaps unconsciously, they did exactly what those pamphlets said to do. And the House of Burger King started handing out pamphlets too, and Sammy Whammy was out there talking about boycotts and stuff. He cozied up with the superhero team that was formed. No, not the Sons of Liberty, not yet. They were called the Loyal Nine! And what were these friends of Sammy doing? Hanging stamp distributors in the street and burning the lieutenant governor's house to the ground.
Usual hero stuff.
And while Sammy Adams wasn't responsible, everybody still blamed him. Like, they were basically equating him to the Kingpin from the Spider-Man comics because they thought he was some propaganda mastermind who was organizing all the chaos in some freaky underground operation. There was zero evidence of this. Zero. There's a million modern-day parallels to be made here, but I think I'm gonna let you reach your own conclusions on this one. Anyway, after these crazy riots, Sammy Whammy basically was like, quote, "Yeah, being nice wasn't getting us anywhere. Sometimes you need a couple lunatics, okay?" Unquote. I mean, he doesn't like mobs and violence or whatever, but at least he's smart enough to know that at some point, someone's gotta put a literal foot down if nothing else is working. Okay. So the Boston Cactus had a town meeting, and they were all like, quote, "Sammy, you had good advice the first time. We need your advice again. Write us a pamphlet," unquote. And he did, for the Massachusetts House of Reps. Oh, and like right after he wrote that freaking pamphlet, he was hired to replace some rep who died. So he was essentially following his own orders like a boss, okay? So the Stamp Act was, like, supposed to happen, but it didn't, because all the stamp collectors were like, "Y'all are scary, I'm resigning, stop hanging us in the street." And the Parliament was all like, "Well, I guess there's no point now." So, yeah, election season came around. Sammy obviously stayed on as one of the Massachusetts House of Reps, and he was a clerk, too, because why not, you know? And it was around that time that he met his faithful protege, Zony Henny Cocky, the richest man in Massachusetts. If you've listened to the Johnny Henny Cocky episode, you already know how much of a crazy romantic comedy this relationship is going to become. So, the next tea-sipping move was the Townshend Acts, which taxed some of the imports and stuff, but it was used to help pay judges and governors and stuff. Yeah, the tea sippers were really trying to do it on the down low because the Boston courts weren't in session when they came out, but there were still town meetings, and Sammy was at them, trying to cause a ruckus again. Some dude named Tommy Dickinson wrote a bunch of letters from a farmer in Pennsylvania, and they basically said the exact same thing Sammy Whammy has been saying since the dawn of time. Natural rights. And they wrote a petition thingy to King George, but they also passed it around to the other colonies, like that secret note you get in chemistry class in middle school. I mean, at first the House of Massachusetts reps were like, "No, why would we share this? Lol, we'll look like social pariahs." But Sammy Whammy was all like, "That's a pretty petty thing to worry about when our human rights are at stake." So that's how the petition got, you know, permission to be passed around. But you see, some prissy tea-sipping secretary named Lord Pillsbury or something caught wind of this, and he didn't want the colonists pulling that Stamp Act bull duty all over again. So he started yelling at the governors to make sure nobody could gather around and sign the petition. And he tried to get, like, Massachusetts reps to, like, not send it. And in a vote of freaking 92-17, they decided to send it anyways. And on top of that, freaking Sammy Whammy sent around another petition to get Lord Pillsbury, or whatever his name is, fired. Now that's playing dirty. Jeez Louise. So, right after all that crazy tomfoolery, the whole situation with the freaking Liberty happens. Remember? The Libertin? Johnny Hancock's ship that was stopped by customs over some bogus nonsense? If you don't remember, I strongly advise you take a listen to the Johnny Hancock episode. It was quite the fiasco. And it was the last straw for the freaking governor, okay? He went and wrote a letter to his bosses telling him to send freaking troops because these ruffians are out of control. And when Sammy Whammy and the Boston Cactus got word of it, they had a big fat town meeting and wrote a letter that basically said, quote, "Literally, we are not ruffians, okay? Y'all asked for this," unquote. But by the time they finished writing the letter, the troops had already showed up. Yeah. People who actually study history are over here getting into arguments over whether Sammy was a revolution hipster, if he was trying to be super on the books with stopping injustice and stuff. I think he was, like, both. Like, he was selling Super Enlightenment 101 before everybody else, but he tried to bring it about through the proper channels, you feel me? Well, with the troops showing up, Sammy did what Sammy does. He wrote a whole bunch of pamphlets and filled a whole journal of demerits with them. Oh, and this journal of demerits, they were day-to-day reports of everything that was going on with the soldiers in town. By the way, journalism wasn't even a thing yet. There's no such thing as a newspaper reporter, okay? So this is a Back to the Future moment, okay? Or it was just Sammy turning on the propaganda machine, which wouldn't make it a Back to the Future moment because propaganda existed before investigative journalism. What was in the journal? Oh, a bunch of stuff about T-SIP and soldiers beating up pedestrians and taking advantage of pedestrians that give birth in disgusting ways. Usual propaganda stuff. Unless it was actually happening, which it might have, because those soldiers had a ridiculous amount of immunity. Like, they were halfway across the world, and if they did something wrong, they had to ride a boat all the way home just to go to court. So yeah, probably happened at least a little bit. Yeah, it was getting stressful. The governor had to skip town, never to return, in that same day. 13 Reasons Why the T-SIP and Soldiers Suck stopped being published. Okay? Coincidence? I think not. Yeah. Sammy Mammy was trying really hard to send troops back to T-Land, boycotting and stuff. They sent 2 regiments home, but clearly that wasn't cutting it. And all this passive aggression came to a head when 5 pedestrians were freaking massacred by these soldiers. The local conspiracy theorists who hang around outside Walmart at 3 in the morning went bonkers when they heard this. Quote, "That Sammy Adams is at it again, planting those crisis actors at the Boston Massacre!" Unquote. Yeah. There is no evidence of this whatsoever. A new governor was elected and his name was Tommy Hutchinson. Not Huntington, Hutchinson. And Sammy Whammy and his buddies try to get Tommy and the army colonel to send troops back to T-Land. Didn't exactly work, but the colonel had some common sense to at least take the troops out of Boston, and Sammy Whammy wasn't trying to agree with the angry mob, really. In fact, he wanted those soldiers to go to trial and be convicted to show that Boston was not a town of Neanderthals. He even got his buddy Johnny Adams to help run the trial. And as you probably know, if you listened to the Johnny Adams episode, this backfired hard for Sammy, because Johnny Adams was a godlike lawyer. Sammy would never live this outcome down. He wanted those soldiers freaking convicted for murder. So after the Boston Massacre thingy, everything went quiet in Boston for a bit. Sammy Whammy tried to get everybody to keep boycotting, but those Cadbury creams were sounding really good about now. The economy was improving, people weren't listening to Sammy, like New York started eating Cadbury creams, Philly started eating Cadbury creams again, Boston was next, yo. Johnny Adams stopped being all political for a hot second, Johnny Hanny-Cocky started becoming a centrist, the whole Sammy Whammy movement was falling apart, okay? So Sammy Whammy focused on another issue. Louis Vuitton purse superpowers. What are those? Well, the officials running the Massachusetts get their pay from the Crown people. If they don't do what the Crown people want, the Crown cannot pay them and keep that paycheck in their Louis Vuitton purses, and essentially, they will never be royals. Because they're protesting too much. Yeah, Sammy formed a whole bunch of committees of correspondence to try and make it so that the province was paying these schmucks, not the royals. And as these communities were basically just spying on the T-Sippers and staging protests and gossiping, and other colonies made committees too because it was trendy, Governor Hutchinson was having none of it, okay? Quote, hey, if you keep gossiping like this, and the next thing you know, you're going to be poisoning the salad bar as an act of treason. Sammy Whammy and his friends thought this was bogus. Nobody even said Parliament was the boss, so why is this crusty man yelling at the committee? I think we need to let everybody know what rights they have. And they made another pamphlet. It went viral. Sammy Whammy got elected to the Massachusetts House of Reps again. And you know what he came across? Some letters from Tommy Hutchinson that said, hey, we need to break some civil rights to keep the peace. Yeah. Yeah, things are gonna get cray-cray again. Bye-bye, career. But that's not what I meant. No, Tommy, you're fired. And of course the committee sent a letter to the king, too, that basically said, do you see this nonsense?
Okay, so now the ultimate passive-aggressive move is made. The teeny-tiny tax on the tea. You see, England was running this crazy tea-smuggling operation and needed somewhere to sell the extra tea. So they sent it to the colonies at absurdly good prices, putting the local tea makers out of business.
Also, the big fat tea companies didn't have to pay the same tax as the colonies did for importing the tea. It's not fair, I tell ya. Protest happened everywhere for literally every reason I just talked about, and all the people running the tea trade resigned as a result, except the ones in freaking Boston. The Boston Cactus tried to get them to resign. Didn't happen. The tea arrived. Sammy Whammy called a meeting to order. They wrote a letter saying, quote, hey, take your tea and go home, all right, before we go cuckoo bananas on you, unquote. The governor wasn't letting the ship leave or unload because they had to pay the toll for literally showing up. Nothing to do with the tea. And when Sammy Whammy learned this, he was all like, well, I guess this meeting is useless. And that was the signal for everyone to dress up like Native Americans and toss the tea in the river. Okay, that wasn't the signal at all. There wasn't a signal. That was just some old rumor that popped up a century after Sammy Whammy died that his great-grandkid freaking made up to seem cool to his friends. The meeting wasn't actually over, and Sammy was bummed that people were leaving early. I mean, Sammy didn't say if he was there for the tea dumping or not, but he sure liked it on Facebook. Quote, look, what else could we do? We had no choice. Nobody was listening. Unquote. As we all know, the royals responded to this tea dumping with some intolerable nonsense, closing Boston's port, ending the election process, and making sure royals who commit crimes can get more or less away with it. Sammy Whammy, still trying the boycotts and still having secret meetings, but locking the door more often. This guy was a real trooper. So, of course, Massachusetts wants to send him to go represent at the first annual Continental Con. He was up there coming up with ideas to resist and organizing a massive boycott plan and stuff. Then he came back, but only to Concord, not Boston. That's too dangerous. Are you crazy? And he joined some Massachusetts Congress that was outside, tea sipping control. And these guys were hiring troops, okay? It was getting serious. And of course, he was a shoo-in for Continental Con Part 2. I know what you're thinking. Where is he staying if he's not going to Boston? At his friend Johnny Hanicocky's home, where Johnny Hanicocky grew up, in Lexington. Yeah, little did they know that the tea sippers were out trying to steal supplies and arrest Sammy and Johnny and got caught and now we're at war! So anyways, he makes it to Continental Con Part 2, and they're trying to be all secret and stuff because all the crazy nonsense that just went down. So we don't know exactly what Sammy was doing other than, like, being on committees and helping war stuff, especially early on. According to Johnny Adams, the kid had spunk. Sammy liked the whole declaring independence idea and that common sense pamphlet, too. Most of his committees were about war stuff. Oh, and he hated these loyalists. Quote, these idiots are gonna freaking betray us and undermine literally everything. Quarantine them, unquote. He also helped write the Articles of Confetti. And yeah, on the whole central government thing, he was kind of worried about that. This could serve as a prediction of whether he will be a Federalist or a Democratic Republican. Yes, you can see the seeds this early. So yeah. Sammy told Massachusetts to ratify the thing, and how could they refuse? He helped write the darn thing. So he went back to Boston and helped make a cute little Massachusetts constitution and included a new government with elections and separating the power. Fun stuff. I mean, it wasn't super democratic by our standards now, because, like, only free men who had land could vote. But, you know, we're working on it. Anyways, he had to leave Continental Con. The dude was turning 60. He probably had Parkinson's or something because his hands were shaky and he couldn't write anymore and stuff. So he finally
left Philly and went home to Boston for good this time. While he was in Boston, he was still meddling in the common politique, okay? Like, he was the president of the Massachusetts Senate and stuff, and showed up at town meetings, and he was going to all these rants, going on all these rants about virtue, and how without virtue there's no liberta and stuff. And as you know from Johnny Hanicocky's episode, Sammy started to hate the guy for being all prissy and rich. I mean, where's the virtue in that? Yeah, Sammy turned everybody against Johnny Boy, and he supported Hanicocky's political enemy. Remember him? James Bodwin? Yeah, Sammy liked that guy instead. But Hanicocky was out here winning freaking landslides for the governor's seat, okay? But yeah, Sammy was dead serious about this virtue stuff. Like, he got everybody free education and stuff. Oh, and by everybody, I mean, wait for it. Even girls! I know, right? It's almost like he thought girls were people or something. Revolutionary, I tell ya. Of course, he joined the Academy of Painting and Bombs. Oh, and remember that weird cult thingy with a bunch of former army people in it? The Societa of Cincinnati? Yeah. Sammy and other Democratic Republican types hated it. They thought it was some weird military aristocrat nonsense. He also hated theaters and actors and stuff. But I feel like that's just the Puritan upbringing coming out. Yeah. He tried to ban them, but lol, like that's gonna work. So this crazy rebellion thingy happens because the farmers are getting taxed like city people and they all got their guns about it. And it was the one time Hanicocky let Bodwin win the governor's seat because, like, Hanicocky saw it coming and was like, I'm not touching this. And Sammy was all like, go ahead, B, send some troops. Everybody thought he was a hypocrite, but really he supported the farmers. But thought they shouldn't have freaking grabbed their guns. Like, he wanted those farmers hanged for it pretty much because they were being ungrateful. Yeah, if that doesn't scream old coot, I don't know what does. And of course, this thing caused all the leader people to have another meeting in Philly. And at that meeting, they pooped out this central government-y thingy called the Constitution. And when Sammy Whammy saw that Constitution, he didn't like it. No, sir. He was full-on anti-federalist, dude. But I mean, when it was time for Massachusetts to accept or reject, Sammy sat, he listened carefully, and Hanicocky was his friend again, and they, like, narrowly got the thing accepted. Oh, and while he was there doing that, his kid died. Yeah, this kind of crushed him, but he did get all the soldier money from his kid, but still, he didn't, like, use it that much. So yeah, he's still freaking out about this Constitution thing, so he tried to join the National House of Reps, but he lost the election. But he was still trying to fix that Constitution thing. And, well, it's people like him complaining that led to the Bill of Rights existing. And when that Bill of Rights EP dropped, Sammy was like, well, that solves everything. Disaster averted. So yeah. He got elected to Lieutenant Governor of Massachusetts, one step under his buddy Hanicocky. And then when Hanicocky died in 93, he took his place. And then he even got reelected as governor, okay? So yeah, when that crazy whiskey rebellion happened where Jorge had to bring the whole army to look scary, Sammy supported the government on that one for the exact same reasons he supported the government for that other rebellion. And like all the Democratic Republicans, he really didn't like Johnny J's treaty. But anyways, we're getting close to the 1796 election. I know, about time, right? I tell ya, these Massachusetts candidates have been through everything. Freaking ground zero stuff, holy guacamole. If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, why Virginia Woolf is scary, you can find Garble Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbletwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbletwistery.net. Next time, it's a rebroadcast with a special new update on your best friend, Jorge. No, not Washington, he hates this election stuff. No, Jorge Clinton, remember him? Let's check on the guy, okay?
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
This is an infringement! Where are our representatives? Oh, wait, we don't have any. That's why it's an infringement!